From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled, Grow Up. The text is Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Yes, when the sun shines, the sick quit their chambers and walk abroad to breathe the fresh air. When the sun brings spring and summer, the cattle quit their stalls and seek pasture on the higher Alps. Even thus, when we have conscious fellowship with our Lord, we leave the stall of despondency and walk abroad in the fields of holy confidence. We ascend to the mountains of joy and feed on sweet pasturage, which grows nearer heaven than the provender of carnal men. To go forth and to grow up is a double promise. O my soul, be thou eager to enjoy both blessings. Why shouldst thou be a prisoner? Arise and walk at liberty. Jesus saith that his sheep shall go in and out and find pasture. Go forth, then, and feed in the rich meadows of boundless love. Why remain a babe in grace? Grow up. Young calves grow fast, especially if they are stall-fed, and thou hast the choice care of thy Redeemer. Grow, then, in grace and in the knowledge of thy Lord and Savior. Be neither straitened nor stunted. The sun of righteousness has risen upon thee. Answer to his beams as the buds to the natural sun. Open thine heart, expand, and grow up into him in all things.
Sing my soul, my strength, and not to me. How great thou art, how great
How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes his fifth message in this intensive study of the book of Romans. Contrary to those who have taught and continue to teach that Paul's gospel was unique to him, that it had little or no relation to the rest of Scripture, Dr. Cairns is demonstrating that the Bible is one book, that the gospel Paul preached is contained in the Old Testament as well as in the New. He has emphasized the fact that there is an undeniable connection between the Old and New Testaments, that the Old Testament promises are fulfilled in the New. Christ is the principal theme all the way through the Scriptures, And it's important to remember that it was from the Old Testament that the Apostle Paul drew his gospel message of salvation by grace alone through faith in Christ alone. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this emphasis on one Bible, one gospel.
The Word of God in the Old and New Testament now, it's complete. You see that? It's complete. The Old Testament promises, the New Testament fulfills. What is there after the fulfillment? It's the end of Scripture. This is the completion of Scripture. There's nothing after the completion. If the New Testament is the fulfillment of everything the Old Testament set forth, then the whole Romish doctrine of continual revelation, the whole charismatic doctrine of extra-biblical revelation is completely out of court. This is the final revelation. You have nothing after completion. That's it. This is the complete Word of God. Furthermore, it's the sufficient Word of God in all matters of faith and practice. And it flies in the face of the Scriptures of both Testaments to make any doctrine that can't be established in Scripture an article of necessary faith. What is not scriptural has no place as an article of necessary faith. Furthermore, the Word of God is harmonious. The Old Testament and the New Testament are one book. Now, I could take a long time to deal with that. But let me tell you something. And let us learn this. I speak to you as somebody who loves systematic theology. I know that there are people who like to say that they don't believe in systematic theology, they believe in biblical theology. Actually, the people who say that usually have reinvented the term biblical theology, and they have given a definition to it and a meaning to it that the term never had. And they actually, it's a cover-up, for they are the most systematic, the most doctrinaire, the most irrationally dogmatic. But I'll not get into those things. I just want to be uncontentious. We'll not get into those things. But I love systematic theology, but I must say, I also have to take this to heart. Never impose anything in God's Word. If your system doesn't come from God's Word, then change your system, but don't change God's Word. Not only so, but in defending your positions, never interpret the New Testament to contradict or overthrow the Old. You see, this Bible is not an evolution from darkness to light, from error to truth. This is not the record of man struggling out of the primeval mess of philosophic ignorance, getting closer and closer to the light by his own discoveries. That's not the Bible. The Bible is divine revelation from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible is a development of promise into fulfillment with increasing clarity. And I love this in the book of God, this harmonious book. God is the same. Who is my God tonight? He's the God of Abraham. He's the fear of Isaac. He is the sovereign redeemer of Jacob. God is the same. And God's salvation is the same. We'll see if and when, if we live long enough to get to chapter 4. If your heads aren't whirling, going round in circles, doing figures, we'll see God saved Abraham the very way he saved Saul of Tarsus. God saved David the very way he saved you. God never had another way, and he never will have another way. And I don't want to get into prophecy tonight, but the next time you hear somebody tell you that God is going to save saints during the tribulation in another way, understand it is a perversion of God's truth. during the tribulation, God is going to save millions. But he's going to save them by the same gospel, pointing them to the same Christ, by the same faith, and with the same result, because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. But can I say to you, never interpret the Old Testament without seeing its witness to Christ. Don't get bogged down in the Old Testament, where all you're reading is history or whatever. Don't get bogged down where you can't see Christ. I've told you before, years ago, my wife said to me, she's been very honest, she said, "I'm not looking forward to my Bible reading now. I'm coming again to Leviticus." And I find that a very, very difficult book. And I said, "Joan, take Andrew Bonner on Leviticus and read Leviticus with Bonner's commentary." And she did. And she will tell you, as she told me, it was the greatest blessing. In every verse and every line, there is Christ in all his covenant fullness. You will not see Christ as clearly in every place. But if you're going to make a mistake, let it be the mistake of Martin Luther, who was accused of seeing Christ where Christ was never intended to be seen. I don't mind making that mistake, to be quite honest. I don't mind making that mistake. My fear is the mistake of so many. I read commentators in the book of Job, and they come to Job's great statement in chapter 19. "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." And with all their learning and their history and their Hebrew and their all the rest of it, they have it all. There was so much learning, they're absolute lunatics. And they can tell me there's no reference to Christ there. What? What? You may as well tell me there's no reference to my wife and my marriage certificate. That's learned lunacy. That's all it is. Learned lunacy. To him, Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness. So if I'm going to understand the prophets, I must see Christ in the prophets. God, give me eyes for him. The scripture is harmonious. And thank God, it is trustworthy. Take this home with you tonight. The Old Testament is the promise. The New Testament is the fulfillment. Solomon, at the dedication of the temple, kept on repeating this sentiment. "Thou hast spoken with thy mouth, and thou hast fulfilled with thy hand. Thou hast said it, and thou hast done it." And that's the story of the gospel. Was Abraham ashamed when he put his trust in Christ all those centuries before the Savior showed up upon the scene? Was Abraham ever put to shame? No, where is he? He is in glory tonight. That's where he is. Was Moses ashamed when he gave up Egypt and all its pleasures through faith in Christ? No, he was not put to shame. When God took David from the sheepcote and put him on the throne and set Christ before him, and David's heart was moved by faith in Jesus, was he ever put to shame? No, God fulfilled with his hand what he promised with his mouth. My friend, I want to tell you, we may commit everything to the gospel. You may launch out on the gospel. You may trust your life to Christ. You may trust your soul to Christ. You may place the full weight of your dependence upon Christ. You will never perish trusting in Jesus. Never. This is a trustworthy book. Take this promise as it is given. Do not let the devil shake you free from it. You may take God's word and stake everything on it. But remember this. That there's a part of both the Old and the New Testament concerning Christ that still awaits His fulfillment. He's coming again. And evil men, according to 2 Peter 3, verse 4, mock. And they say, where is the, notice the word, where is the promise of His coming? Where is it? It's where it always was. It's in God's word. And where's God's word? It's where it always was. Thy word is forever settled in heaven. So where's the promise of His coming? Ah, listen. God will fulfill it. Never, never, never lose sight of that. God will fulfill it. He is not slack concerning His promise. Do you realize something? If God had sent Christ back before now, some of you would be in hell. Why has God lingered? He is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you may believe this gospel with confidence, the gospel of the entire Bible. You may take your stand with the generation of saints that have proved it, standing upon that only solid ground, God's revelation of Christ in the Scriptures, the revelation of a justifying righteousness to every believer, will stand the test of time, of death, and of eternity. One Bible, one Gospel, one Christ, one way of salvation. Make sure you're found in that way, for outside of it is certain death. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, bless Thy word to all our hearts. We thank Thee for the great, the powerful, the glorious gospel of Christ. Lord, use it tonight to bring the lost to Christ, the backslidden to their first love, the saints of God to a deep, deep appreciation of the love of God in Christ and the glories of sovereign grace. Father, hear our prayer. Part us with Thy very richest blessing, and be our abiding portion this night and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.